The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Something else that's got a lot of attention today are these so-called robust age verification checks that must be strictly enforced on video sharing platforms who have their bases in Ireland and the rest of Europe. Rena Maycock is with me, the founder of child cyber safety company Chirp. We spoke to Rena a couple of weeks ago, and Rachel O'Connell as well, technical author of the soon-to-be international age verification standards and a former chief security officer at Bebo. Rachel, can I start with you? Can you maybe explain a little bit about what is happening?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a very welcome kind of development, and it's been a long time coming. So we're entering the era of an age-aware internet. And so today, platforms are obliged to roll out age verification solutions. And there's been some confusion where people are thinking, well, if you don't have a driver's license or a passport, what's going to happen? And will it be privacy invasive? So there are, as you mentioned, I wrote the technical standard on age checking, which is now an international standard, ISO 27566. So there is a way in which this can be done. For example, Trust Elevate, my company, we verify children's ages, and we verify when somebody says they're the parent of the child. So the parent provides the child's first name, last name, date of birth, and the parent's mobile number. That data is hashed. That's scrambled, and it's checked against government and non-government data sources that are also hashed, that's scrambled. So we never, ever see the data. And the token that we produce for like TikTok is, for example, this child is aged between 13 and 16, or in another platform below 7 years of age. So no personal data is shared, and you do not need documents you don't need to scan documents. And the approach is based on an international standard, and it is privacy preserving. So I hope that kind of clears up some of the questions.
Yeah, so this or similar systems to that, the idea is, as of today, those companies who've got their foothold, their European foothold in Ireland or elsewhere in the European Union, they have a European foothold, that they would be obliged to put in place something like that. That's the idea, is it?
That's the idea.
And why, when you say it's a long time coming, why has it been so long in coming in your mind?
Because a lot of companies have fought against this, and there was the assumption before the technical standard existed, companies were able to say, oh, we'll have to collect a whole load of information from parents and children, and that would be privacy invasive, and it wouldn't necessarily create a safer environment. Now that you've got third-party providers that provide age verification solutions in compliance with technical standards, and they've got financial-grade APIs, security, It's now possible to meet this requirement. So there's been a lot of lobbying by industry, but regulators have pushed back. And now we've finally arrived at this point. It's taken about close to 15 years.
And the rules then that are in force as of today, will they impact people who are already using? If I log on to any of these platforms today, will I kind of retrospectively have to verify my age?
Yes, absolutely. Like, for example, sometimes you log into Revolut or another banking account and they say we need to do some additional checks. So that will be the experience on these platforms.
And what happens if the platforms don't do it?
They are then subject to a number of fines. And also the regulators have the ability to say to a company, okay, you've ceased to operate until you are in compliance with these requirements. So there are a number of opportunities that regulators have when they investigate companies to ensure compliance. And it's not only the Online Safety Act. There are a growing number of regulations that require an age-aware internet, including the Digital Services Act, the Digital Operational Resilience Act, the AI Act. So it's no longer, businesses used to be able to say, ah, sure, we'll get a fine. It's a cost of doing business. We'll carry on regardless. That is now changing, whereby there are so many fines, but also penalties in terms of a threat to their license to operate.
Okay.
That they're rethinking the thing very, very seriously.
Okay, so you're confident they are taking this seriously, and that there's kind of sufficient teeth in terms of enforcement that we will see, you know, as described on the tin, you know, robust age verification.
Exactly. We just need to make sure the Commissioner Man and the data protection regulators and the financial regulators do enforce these regulations.
Rena with us as well. I mentioned Rena Maycock from Chirp. Rena, are you equally confident that we're at the beginning of a process now that we'll see real age verification?
Yes, and it's just like Rachel says, it is a long time coming, but look, it's very welcome for child protection stakeholders in the space, because anything that can come in that makes digital citizenship safer for kids online is to be welcomed. A little bit like Rachel says, you know, 20 million euro, you know, these are GDPR style fines, which are going to see some sort of compliance, meaningful compliance. But also the legislation makes senior managers in these big tech companies culpable if they refuse to comply. So it's not just cease to operate orders. It's not simply fines that can be absorbed as a cost of doing business, which we've all seen before, but senior managers themselves are on the hook.
And to what extent are we trying to reinvent the wheel here? Or does this exist in other jurisdictions? Are there places where either the same tech companies or other versions of them have age verification systems?
I think the EU are leading the charge, to be quite frank. I mean, I know that Australia is often looked at because they had the first online safety commissioner, and they're very aggressive and toothy in terms of what they do to make the internet safer for kids. But it's good to see that the EU are leading the charge in making this the standard. And for too long now, big tech companies have been self-regulating. They've been saying, you know, we can't be responsible for 11-year-olds or 8-year-olds being on our platforms. They're lying to us on sign up. So at least this legislation goes towards making sure that children are age appropriate and seeing age appropriate content instead of just being allowed to kind of into the Wild West, if you will.
One wonders how, you know, Commissioner Naman in this jurisdiction or you know, its alternatives in other jurisdictions are going to test this. Are they just going to kind of keep trying to sign up to different platforms using the pictures of kids or something?
I had that same question myself, and I went on to LinkedIn and Facebook today to see if I was kicked out or if I, you know, there was some sort of demand on me to prove my age, and I wasn't required to prove my age, which was a bit disappointing. You know, I wonder, will they have secret shoppers? I mean, I would have an awful lot of faith in Niamh Hodnett, John Evans and the team at Commissioner Naman to make sure that they enforce this policy. But it is going to be quite tricky for them. You know, will they have secret shoppers that go on there and try and trick the system to see if there is compliance? Will they rely on users themselves? I mean, what we see certainly at CHIRP from talking to parents and kids is parents often are pushed into giving children access to social media platforms or smartphones earlier than they feel comfortable. Often it's because the kids themselves are now not able to communicate with the other kids in their class or their friends because they're all on Snapchat, for example, or TikTok. And the parents know themselves that the child is signing up to Snapchat at age 11, for example, when they really shouldn't be. They should be age 13. So at least this legislation is going to protect parents to a point, because it means that all of the kids in the school have to prove that they're 13. So the user numbers will come down, and it will create this friction at sign up, where at least new users will have to demonstrate that they are age appropriate and seeing age appropriate content.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point to make, actually, because I can see some of the texts already coming in and they suggest, you know, kids are always one step ahead of us. They'll be able to work around it, which is akin to arguing that because there's, you know, young lads who buy a Nagin when they're 16 or 17, that we should somehow get rid of kind of the over 18 drinking age.
Yeah, I mean, look, we legislate for safety in other areas. You and I spoke about seatbelts, for example, and, you know, the vast majority of people, okay, they comply, they wear their seatbelt. And exactly the same thing will happen with signing up to social media platforms. The vast majority will comply. And that means that we'll see a much safer online space for kids where they're only seeing age-appropriate content. I mean, there's a really disturbing fact out there. There was a study on TikTok's For You feed, and it found that after just 3 to 6 hours of being online, over 50% of the videos that were being served to a user were containing suicide, self-harm, or mental health issues, which romanticized really dangerous behaviors. So at the very least, this legislation will make sure that kids aren't seeing that type of content.
Yeah, we're going to look back and scratch our heads, I think, at how we let social media companies convince us that it was our job to educate kids about how to deal with extreme pornography and suicidal content, as opposed to just stopping children accessing that type of content.
Absolutely. And kids should be able to go on social media platforms. Why shouldn't they? But this legislation, at the very least, will make those social media platforms much safer. I mean, we're not about demonizing social media platforms. We're not about demonizing technology use. I mean, one of our investors is Evan Sharba, co-founder of Pinterest. And Pinterest go to show that you can have privacy by default, that you can create a safe space online for kids where they don't need to see dangerous content, but they can enjoy all of those immense benefits of being digital citizens, like, you know, the education, the entertainment, the connectivity, the communication, all of those things.
Anyway, listen, Rena, we appreciate the time. Thanks a million for joining us. Rena Maycock, who's the founder of child cyber safety company Chirp, and Rachel O'Connor, technical author of those soon-to-be international age verification standards. She mentioned former chief security officer as well at Bebo. Lara in Dublin says, my nieces and nephews just use existing devices, including the smart TV, which already have adult accounts and are permanently logged into. This is not going to change because it's way too much hassle for the adults to constantly be logging into and out of so many devices and services. What about a simple ID identification and the use of real names on social media for everybody? People behave terribly, especially when anonymous is the reflection of somebody else. And what happens when these companies won't pay the fines? Then what? Another listener wonders. Well, as Rachel said, she is confident that the fines are sufficient and the enforcement is sufficiently toothy that she thinks, at least, that this will force the social media companies to act. As I said at the outset, it is amazing how successful those social media companies have been in arguing in recent years that age verification was absolutely beyond the wit of man, far too complicated. And they argued this in the context of a world where we've got quantum computing and brain-computer interfaces and CRISPR gene editing technology and AI and all the rest. And they've made that argument with a straight face and we let them away with it. It is absolutely mad.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.